sand.
Coming in.
Hold just one second, I think some people are coming into the room at this time. So just hold one second.
Okay.
Right, thank you, sir. I do take note, sir, that I believe that you also, as part of your release plan, you stated that you would want to reside with your sister. However, that is not applicable at this time, in as much as this is to move you to your next consecutive sentence if the board saw fit. But I do take note that you do say that you wish to reside with your sister. You have employment already as a fault lifter, so whenever you get out, you're ready to go and be a productive citizen. And I'm correct, sir. And you're ready to get out there and go to work.
All right. Just plain, sir.
Yes, sir. I also take note, sir, that you have not had a major guilty disciplinary action since 2000. However, you had a few, at least two violations, although they were dismissed. And I just want to see if you might remember, I think one in 2014, although it was dismissed, do you remember why you came before the Department of Corrections, although it was dismissed, and it was for promoting prison contraband? What were you doing at that time, sir?
My neighbor had made a screwdriver to take the security screws off his fan so he could clean it, and he put it between the wall and the locker, and we live in a communal space. That's the reason it was dismissed, because he stepped up and took responsibility for his actions.
Okay, so that was not your screwdriver, that was the agent, so he took responsibility. That's what you're telling the board, sir. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think you have another one that was dismissed. Do you remember what the other one was dismissed, sir?
John, Blaine, can you tell me what year, sir?
Let's see. According to what I see here from Ames, and I'm going to read what Ames tells me here, this would have been all the way back in 2005. Disobeying orders is what we show here, sir. I know that's a long time ago, but I'm just wondering if you remember why that happened, sir.
Yes, sir. I was a laundry porter, and we were coming back from chow, and the laundry was there, and I grabbed the laundry and pulled it into the thing, so I started to pass the laundry out without being actually directed to do so. It was a new officer. And it all became resolved because I wasn't the actual laundry porter. He thought I was just another inmate just grabbing it and taking the laundry.
Okay, so at least you have a good memory, and I commend you for that, sir.
I remember because I now have an actual pretty good relationship with the officers, the sergeant down in the Lewis complex.
Oh, great, sir. Okay, we're glad to hear that, sir. I just want to, for a few minutes, if you could take some time and talk to us about the original offense itself. I know some time ago, in fact, I believe if I'm correct, the original offense took place back on March 12, back in 1991. That's when the murder took place, and then later you were, of course, charged with the burglary and forgery. But I guess what was going on at that time back in March of 1991? Why was this murder committed? I believe you murdered a female and went to their house, and the husband was out delivering papers, newspapers, and when he returned home, he found his wife murdered and on the floor and so forth. So what was going on in your life at that time that resulted in you participating in this act, sir?
I was coming out of a really bad marriage and custody battle and everything. I lost my job, so I came to Arizona to visit my dad and try to decompress and get on my feet. And things didn't go as planned down here, and I needed money to get back home. I had a job waiting, and I needed money. From the information that my boyfriend and I had, there was not supposed to be anyone home at that time. And we figured that it'd be just a quick break-in, snatch and grab, sell stuff, to progress money to get back home.
And where were you back home at, sir? Where were you going?
Yearnington, Nevada.
Okay. And I'm just going to skip around, but once you had committed this offense, You tried to go back to Nevada. Am I correct, sir? You went to the bus station to get a ticket, and they wouldn't take your check. Therefore, you didn't get off, and you didn't make it back to Nevada at that time. Am I correct, sir?
No, sir. I was arrested the same day that the murder occurred.
Okay. And if you went back to Nevada, who would you have been visiting there? Would that have been family or friends, sir?
I would have been living with my friend, sitting on his couch.
Okay, sir. And how long have you been in Arizona when this offense took place, sir?
Roughly about 2.5 months.
Okay. And had you been able to find any employment, anything in Arizona those 2 or 3 months, sir?
I went down in the Phoenix area. I was working as a security guard.
So you were a security guard, okay. But were you one of those who carried a weapon, or you did not have a weapon as a security guard?
No, no, no. Okay. No, I worked in an apartment complex.
Okay. And when your co-defendant was in, the two of you working at the same place, or y'all just happened to have known each other in the community, sir?
I met the guy 2 weeks prior to the actual crime.
Okay. And so as you called with you, did you have any drugs that day, or any alcohol, anything that day that when you committed
that offense? Yes, I did.
Okay. What kind of drugs did you use at that time, sir?
I shared a joint.
Okay. What is that, marijuana?
Yes, sir. Cannabis.
Okay. What about alcohol? Did you take any alcohol, sir?
I think maybe 1 or 2 beers.
Okay. I also take note that at the end of the day, back on July 31, 1992, after the offense had been taking place a little more than a year, when you went to court, you ended up with a plea agreement. Why did you take this plea agreement, sir? Or did you?
Yeah, I took the plea agreement. To this day, I still don't understand why I took it. I think it would be better off, more questions could have been answered during the trial. But mostly, hearing the sorrow and listening to my mom cry is pretty much the factor, the main factor. She didn't want to see receive the death penalty and ultimately be put to death.
So basically, among other things, was so that you would not have a death penalty, so that it would not be applicable for you, sir. Am I correct, sir?
Yes.
So at that point, you agreed to first-degree murder 25 years before you would be considered for parole, and you also agreed for the burglary 10 years and the forgery for 4 years. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And have you had any regrets for taking the plea agreement, sir, as you've had all these years to reflect on it?
Honestly, no. I'm not one who says that it doesn't deserve to be in prison. I absolutely do.
Okay, sir. Let me move forward with this a little bit, and then I'm going to other board members and others who might be in the room, but recently, have you thought about, I think you have thought about what might happen once you release, what thoughts have you had to show that you're ready to be a productive citizen, sir?
Well, my biggest concern is just the outlook for as far as Social Security when I retire and the work in progress that I'm going to have to do and sacrifice to get there.
So you're concerned about Social Security, but you're just 46 years of age, am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir, but if I'm paroled today to my next member, I have to do a 10-year sentence and a 4-year sentence, so I'll be close to 60.
Yes, sir.
You know, so that's a big thought in as far as employment at that age.
So what... So you already thought about that you'd be about 60 years of age if you moved to your next consecutive sentence, sir. So let me just ask a couple other questions there with other board members. Do you need a restitution, sir?
Yes, sir.
Was it about $10,000, something like that, sir?
Between 5 and 10, I believe.
Ten.
I don't have the actual number in front of me right now.
Have you paid any at all on it, sir?
No, sir. I'm not financially stable to do so, and I have a court order 60 days prior to my release.
Oh.
Or after my release. Excuse me.
We can't know that, and I know that this was all the way back in 1991, 92, 93, somewhere, but you, at that time, you did have a psychological evaluation. Have you had any other psychological evaluation, anything of that nature in recent years, sir?
Not in about 15 years.
Okay. And are you on any psych medication, anything of that nature, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. So, what about your health? Are you health-wise? Are you holding up okay, sir, being incarcerated?
I have elevated triglycerides, cholesterol, and borderline diabetic.
Okay, sir. I do take note that you do have some letters of support here, as and we've already mentioned your certificates, so we do take note that... tell us something about your supporters, sir. Do you have any family members who support you or any visitors list, anything of that nature, sir?
Yes, my sister. She's pretty much my only family here in Arizona. Both my parents have both passed away. And all the rest of my siblings either live in California or Nevada.
When was the last time your sister visited you, sir? Or have she visited you in recent years? How do you communicate? That may be the best question, sir.
Through the mail service and sometimes phones. My sister still has young children, so it's hard for her to get away.
But and this is not necessary, but I just like to ask it anyway. Would you invite your sister to participate in the hearing today, sir?
Yes. And again, my sister, with her family situation, with her working and taking care of her children, making sure they're getting up and doing, they're always going to these track camps and stuff in the summer, so it's real hard for her to get away from Pinal County and Queen Creek. I was my understanding that she would probably be trying to either show up or send an email or something like that.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir, well, at this point, I'm going to stop asking questions and see if these distinguished board members sitting here might have any questions for you at this time, sir. Board members, questions for Mr. Cunningham. Over to Mr. Johnson, any questions, sir?
No, sir.
Over to Ms. Rittenhouse. No questions? One of Mr. Leo?
No, sir.
And the Honorable Mr. Kowalski.
I was going to ask about family support. You touched upon that idea.
Okay. So I don't think we're going to, at this time, have any further questions for you. And to the best of my knowledge, we don't have any supporters in the room for you. Do I see it? Oh, I'm sorry. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse has something that she wants to say.
I'm so sorry. I did think of something else. Did I see in here, Mr. Cunningham, we have a lot of materials. Do you have children?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay.
19 grandchildren now.
Oh, you do? Okay. What are your children? You have boys, girls?
I have a son, Nicholas.
Okay. And where is he?
In Nevada.
Oh, he's in Nevada. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. And then
yeah,
he has... Go ahead.
He has two children. I have a granddaughter, Jaden, and a grandson, Wesley.
Okay. And any other children of yours? Or...
No, no.
Okay. And do you stay in touch with them? Do you write to them, or...?
We were in contact, but growing up, there's a lot of animosity for me not being there, and then our relationship was starting to get back on track, and then my ex-wife, his mother, passed away suddenly from an asthma attack, and that has brought a lot of resentment and everything, but he still stays in contact with my sister, so we... His thing is, he wants me out of prison before we start having a he doesn't want my grandchildren to go through what he had to.
Understood. Okay, sir. So that door is not closed entirely?
Not at all.
Oh, that's good.
Every once in a while, I get a Christmas card or something like that, and I'm always birthday cards for my grandkids.
That's great. Okay, thank you, sir. I'm sorry I forgot.
No, that's all. Any final questions about board members? Do you have any supporters present? Any supporters present with us?
Two.
twice, thrice, no supporters of Doug Waller. We do show that we do have some victims in the room who wishes to, the victim wish to come forward or not. Please come forward now. And please state your name for the record.
Cindy Chet.
And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And what do you want to tell the board today, ma'am?
I would just like to know, with regards to Mr. Cunningham and the appearance past, we've kind of recounted what happened. Mr. Cunningham said he was not in the house the second year that we were at the second year, and he said that he was in the house in the hall, and then the third time it was that he was not here again. So my concern is for my family is that his sense of responsibility and everything, the way I look at it is with regards to his, for whatever reason, I feel like his sense of acceptance of what happened within himself will be helping to be a better person if he's involved at some point, because the biggest fear I always have is that it never happens again. So I didn't hear any of that today, just with regards to the responsibility piece. Not that I don't know if you can ask that or not, because what I did hear today was more of a sense of responsibility, not trying to blame other people for the original sentence of the acceptance of a plea, because in years past it was the defense attorney's fault. I didn't hear that today. He didn't take responsibility with that, just saying he didn't know why he took that. And then other pieces, I heard more sense of responsibility, and that's kind of been my biggest thing for this whole piece, is that never, ever anyone has to go through this again. So that's what I want to know.
Yes, ma'am. The board is very much saying any questions, members? Yes, Honorable Mr. Ellis.
What I want to say is one more board member. I do appreciate how you deliberated with this as a victim. We recognize that we can't ask people to just let these things go. They're pretty much traumatized forever. And I really do appreciate how you've, the journey that you've gone through. So thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Well, thank you so very much. Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, ma'am. Now, would you state your name for the record?
My name is Linda Schaefer.
And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And what do you want to tell the board, Ms. Schaefer?
I would like to read something to the board, and I realize I cannot talk directly to Mr. Cunningham, but this is in regards to the past. Before I start reading, I agree with my sister, I want responsibility to be taken. It sounds like he possibly is on the right track. I've heard more positive this time than in the past, but I just wanted to share this. I have attended previous parole hearings referencing Carl J. Cunningham being convicted of breaking and entering into the home of my parents, Richard and Lavender Terrace, in the early hours of March 12, 1991, in which violent harm was brought to my mother. She lost her life that evening. Not only did that night change life for my father, my sister, and myself, but it also changed the life of another human being, Carl Cunningham. I remember the very first time I made contact with Mr. Cunningham back in 1991 at the Prescott Arizona Country Courthouse. I wanted to represent my mother and try to make sense of what had happened. I walked into the courtroom with our victim advocate, just Carl, his lawyer, and the judge were in there. Carl had his back to us, swinging his chair back and forth. I can remember hearing laughter. They heard the courtroom doors open. Carl swung around his chair and looked at me eye to eye. As he was looking at me, I saw a tear run down his cheek. I honestly believe that was Carl admitting his guilt. It was his way of telling me he was sorry for what had happened. Mr. Cunningham several times has been asked by the parole board to admit in taking responsibility for his actions of crime. He refused to do so. This tells me he has a fear for admitting to himself responsibility cannot be accepted. Once he can accept facing his fear, responsibility can then be met. And like I mentioned, it sounds like he may be on the right track. My parents were very good people with very good hearts. They taught my sister and I to take care of ourselves, to be very strong people, and to know right from wrong. If my parents were physically here today with us in this room, they would tell Carl to be true to himself as a human being, admit responsibility, and move on. There's difficulty in admitting to one's self-wrongdoing as to being harmful to others on purpose or by mistake. The guilt is there no matter what. We as human beings are the only ones who can mend our thoughts in our mind and come to peace with ourselves. I am willing to accept Carl's admittance of responsibility to this parole board in hopes that he can then begin to heal his mind. I wanted to share one last thing. As I was writing this, I talked to my mom and dad a lot, and he helped me. I mean, that's just what I believe in. As I was writing this, I remember asking my mom, what should I really, really be letting her know? How do I want to talk to him? What am I going to say? Mom, what would you say to him? And I'm not kidding you. In my mind, my mom said to me, tell him to be true to himself. So I'm in hopes that can happen, but I thank you very much for all your time and for the time you guys take out to come and listen to this hearing.
Thank you so very much for coming and sharing it, both you and your sister. Board members, any questions?
I would just like to say the same thing again. I want to thank both of you for sharing your deliberation. It's very insightful for me as a board member, so thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Dr. Eck?
Yes, Mr. Wilson?
I don't have a question for Ms. Schaefer. I don't have a question for her, but if I'm an artist, I'd like to hear Mr. Cunningham's response.
Well, he will have an opportunity to make a final statement. That's going to be his call. I would force him to say what he wants to say, but as you know, he will, in just a few moments, have that opportunity to respond or to not to respond. So, but at this time, before we do that, is there anyone else on the victim side who wishes to participate? As I like to do, once, twice, thrice, no one from the victim, no other from the victim. So now, Mr. Cunningham, sir, you're coming to us to end of your hearing. As I stated, this is your hearing. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir? The board is prepared to listen.
Yes. I take full responsibility for what I've done. I have the rule within my own head. It's like being locked up in a cell with myself. And the person I was then and who I am now, I can't understand where that person, how I mean, I know I'm talking over myself, but that is not the true me. I've gone through years and years of trying to recount exactly what took place over and over again, and it all comes back to being weak and a coward. I have no excuse for my actions as far as why it went down the way it did, except for the fact that I chose to ignore everything that I was raised, the way I was raised, people I believed in, and I still to this day, that person makes me so sick and embarrassed. Everybody from my family to the Saracen's family, I've let down and hurt And that just hearing them talk and the emotion in their voice, there's nothing I can say. I would take their pain in a heartbeat. If I could, I'm sorry.
Discuss this case where the board is constituted today. We do not discuss anything before we sit up here, and this is a part of the Arizona Open Meeting Law. Everything that we do is done in public. We don't do anything behind closed doors, and we operate independent of each other. We know each other, but we must operate independent of each other. Therefore, then the board is prepared to go into discussion. The board is now in discussion. So, board members, this is, we've heard Mr. Cunningham. We've also heard from the victims. I think that Mr. Cunningham is becoming conscious of, or has become conscious of what happened. Do we have all of the answers as we speak today? I'm not sure because none of us were there at that particular time when this took place. I think that he does admit that he did commit the offense itself, and that has happened. I think the question in my mind, has Mr. Cunningham made enough progress to be moved to his parole to his next consecutive sentence? As I stated before, he's 46 years of age. His next sentence would be that for 10 years plus another 4 years, based upon the plea agreement that he made when the offense, when he went before the judge, and a little more than a year after the offense had taken place. Yes, I do believe that he's made progress. He's had a number of programs, as we all can see. But as been stated, my perception has been stated by the victims in the past, he has not been willing to admit what had taken place, and that had to be pulled out of him today. I think at some point he has to admit it up front. That's just the feeling of one board member. I'm not speaking on behalf of any other board member at this point. Therefore, at this particular time, and I can be persuaded otherwise, I am not in favor at this time. But I am prepared to listen to other board members who might persuade me otherwise. Mr. Cornish, you like you're ready to make a comment, sir.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Dr. Wright. Thank you, Honorable Dr. Wright. I'll keep it short. I agree with you. I do want to commend Mr. Cunningham for his programming and personal development and
He seems to be on a trajectory, if you will, but I am not finding him suitable for parole at this point. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Neal, anything you want to share with the board?
Well, this is one of those cases that becomes a conundrum when it makes a determination, because it's usually a 1 year slow down, so that gives the victims a room to try to live without thoughts about it, but knowing after the background of the hearing. And a lot of victims, and that's what terrors me out, it's going to be back every 6 months or a year. If we were to grant parole, the next attempting sentence, and then we go to that next sentence, once there was 14 years, there might be 14 years because of the timing, be more like 10 years. But anyway, that might be still has to go back to the life sentence and then come for a parole hearing to give any type of release. So it's a conundrum in trying to balance public safety, the balance of justice and the victims. But in general, I have to agree with my colleagues, I'm not really in favor of going to make consecutive sentences at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Wright. I'm always aware of the impact of these hearings on victims, and Mr. Neal, you know, always brings that to our attention. I'm glad for that. In this particular case, just given what I've heard today, this is just speaking as myself, I would think we may not want to do a year set off. And that way, Mr. Cunningham and everyone has 6 months to think about this some, and then come back again and talk about it again. Just me thinking. That maybe that would give him an opportunity to think some more about this and see what happens at the next hearing. But I agree with you in general today.
Thank you so very much. Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Dr. Wright, I have to agree. One of the issues is, and I think this is a big issue, because I do give Mr. Cunningham all of the respectability that he has not just obtained one degree, but two degrees, as well as some certificates in different categories for working in construction. And there was a couple others that he had, as well as some of the other information. But I'm too, you know, I remember the last time where we were, and just, you know, Mr. Cunningham's attitude about his involvement in it is just beholding to me, and that's a issue that I'm having with it, going back to the crime. Although Mr. Cunningham's done good, I read his letter that he sent to the board, and apparently in his letter he didn't really have a lot of remorse. It was more of, you know, he can't understand why the board, what else he needs to do for the board, although we can't give him no direction. I do not think that, you know, he should give up hope, as he said in the letter, give up hope because of, you know, the board's decision. But I don't think it's the board's decision. It has to do with himself. So I would tell you, babe, because of that, I'm really, and because of the letter that he wrote to us and some of the statements that he actually made in the letter, basically blaming the board for the reason for him not being paroled out. I'm just not supportive at this time.
Thank you so very much.
Sir, I apologize. I thought of one other thing I do want to mention for the record, and that is I haven't really been able to find any criminal history, aside from one misdemeanor. And so Mr. Cunningham is not a career criminal as some of the people that we see, and I would just throw that out as a factor. So thank you, sir, and I apologize for
Thank you. We're still in the discussion with you. A lot of discussion by board members. Here we have full discussion by board members. We have a motion, we see where it goes, and we vote independent of each other. And our motion is going to be very simple, and that is to deny non-organization executive summons. I will be 412B or 411 to deny absolute discharge. And I'm also going to recommend a 1-year set off, and that is my motion.
Agreed.
Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Perez, and agreed by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, with a 1-year set-off, and the release type is listed as 412B CS 411. Reasons for the now are as follows, and the board members, please assist me with this. Serious and violent offense, loss of human life, and deviant behavior, criminal to the victim, he does have a release plan, he was most probable, I respect the way that he conducted himself today. He has no family community support present, and I'm not including the letters, but there are none in the room to support him at this time. He's had programming, therefore I would not check that one, and I believe that his supervision is working out okay, perfect, I believe. I don't think that he has poor institutional behavior in as much as he has not had a major since the year 2000, therefore, board members, is there anything else that any board member wishes to include for reasons for this denial? I hear none at this time. Mr. Cunningham, you heard the decision of this board, and that is to deny your move to the next executive sentence or absolute discharge, and you will be with a 1-year set off. With the 1-year set off, that means that you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come before this board in about a year from now. Not an exact date, but around this time, a year from now, they will certify you, and I have stated the reasons for the now. Do I need to repeat anything at this time, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your participation. If you'd be kind enough to put the seal through on the phone, we would certainly appreciate it, sir. Good luck, and this will end your hearing, sir.
All right.